On Tuesday, we were talking about my friend who had one of his talus strings, and the talus string got cut off, basically all the way to the knot. And there wasn't even a slip knot's length left. There wasn't even a shiur gardumen kedei aniva that was remaining. And the question became, what should he do with his talus? And we were discussing different ways, different opinions in the Rishonim and in the Gemara. That may allow him to continue wearing the talus even with the string broken until he's able to procure a new string. And today I want to focus in greater detail on two of those opinions. So one of them, if you recall, was the opinion of Rashi. Rashi maintained that when we talk about a string that gets cut off, we mean a string that gets cut off all the way to the knot which is closest to the garment, to the knot which is closest to the corner. That's how far it needs to be cut off in order to be disqualified. However, if it's cut off to the further knot, to the knot which separates the braided part of the tzitzis from the loose part of the tzitzis, so then it might remain kosher. That was the opinion of Rashi. And the Gemara went on and elaborated and said that one of the reasons that you need a slip knot's length to remain is in order to make sure that the knot remains firm, that the knot doesn't unravel, that the tzitzis remain firmly affixed to the beged. And on that, from there, Rava wanted to infer that you must have more than one knot in the tzitzis. You need to have a knot either to separate the braided part from the loose part, or at the base of the tzitzis, close to the garment, in order to hold everything in place. Rava said, in addition to that single knot, you would need a second knot, and that way, even if it unravels all the way to the first one, so you still got the second one as backup. Rashi interpreted that as meaning that Rava believes that the tzitzis string can be cut off all the way to the knot without even a slip knot's length remaining. And the only reason that the tzitzis remain kosher is because even if the first knot unravels, there will still be a second knot behind it. Right? And then whatever string was in between the first knot and the second knot will now serve as the loose strings of the tzitzis. So Rashi interpreted that, according to Rava, you don't need any slip knot's length of string. You don't need a kedei aniva left after the knot, because even without that, the gardumen are kosher. It can rely on the knot which is a little bit lower down. At the time, I believe we noted, or perhaps we didn't note, that this provides us with a very interesting rationale, a very interesting explanation for why gardumen remain kosher. For why is it that why would you have thought that tzitzis strings that got chopped off are not kosher? And why do we say that if you have a slip knot's length remaining, they are kosher? And the basic rationale that emerges from Rava's inference is that you would have thought that they're not kosher because they would cause the tzitzis to unravel. They would undo the binding that affixes the tzitzis to the beged. And therefore, Rava says that as long as there is something which keeps the tzitzis affixed to the beged, whether it's a lower down knot or whether it's enough string remaining to hold this knot firmly in place, it's going to be kosher. So in other words, for Rava, the main concern is that the tzitzis remain firmly attached to the beged, and gardumen will be kosher as long as they ensure that the tzitzis remains firmly attached to the beged.
Gardumen is
chopped off tzitzis. I think that a gardum elsewhere in the Gemara is like
right.
A gallows. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So,
is there a certain length of it? Maybe
The regular tzitzis or the gadumen tzitzis? The regular tzitzis should be a certain length. Talk about exactly how long it is. Is it the...
Yeah. Then
it's not ideal. I'm going to come back to that. Just give me a minute. I'm going to come back to that. Rava says that the concern would have been that it would cause the tzitzis to fall out of the baged, and that the gardumen are kosher so long as there is no such concern, as long as the tzitzis will remain fixed to the baged. This was very different from something which the Gemara had told us, and which the first day that we started learning about gardumen, and that is, if you take a look on Lamed Ches Amud Beis, 2, 4, 6, 8. 8 lines from the bottom, right by the little Dalid of the Ein Mishpat, there's like a little footnote, size font. Kol Shekein, right? What did the Gemara there in those four words? Right? Kol Shekein, the Minkar Mitzvah Sayu. What did the Gemara over there tell us about the importance of having something left over in the Gardumen? Kol Shekein de Minkar Mitzvah Sayu. Let me just bring us back into that particular give and take of the Gemara. The Gemara wanted to know, let's say that you have thick strings, that you can't make them into a slipknot. They're too small to make into a slipknot, but that's only because they're very thick. If somehow they were a little bit thinner, then strings of that length would be able to be made into a slipknot. And the Gemara wanted to know what's important. Is it important to actually be able to make the tzitzis into a slipknot? Or is it important for the tzitzis to be a certain length? And the way that we describe that length is the length that it takes to make a slipknot. But as long as the tzitzis are that length, we don't actually need them to be able to turn into a slipknot. That was the Gemara's question. The Gemara resolved this question with the words Kol Shekein, the Minkar Mitzvah Sayu. It's for sure kosher. The thick strings are for sure kosher, even though you cannot make them into a slipknot because they're too thick. But nonetheless, they're still kosher, even more so than thin strings, which you could make into a slipknot, because Minkar Mitzvah Sayu. How do we translate Minkar Mitzvah Sayu? To realize, nikar, it's recognizable, that the main point of Gardumen was, what? It needs to be nikar. The point is that if the tzitzis, if you can't fulfill uri isem oso, you'll see it, you can recognize it, it's noticeable, it passes the threshold of perception. If you cannot see it, so then it's going to be puzzle. You may have thought that if it got chopped off below that 12, thumb breadths or whatever it was, that it's already invisible, it's not going to fulfill its function. Says B'nai Rabbi Chia, if it got chopped off and there still is a kedei aniva, a slipknot's length left, it's kosher because it still is visible, it still is nikar. And if it's thicker and it has that length, it's even better because the thickness adds to its visibility rather than taking it away. So the point is not you need to be able to slipknot it. The slipknot's length is just a way of expressing the minimum shiur of visibility. And so that seemed to give us a different angle on the gardumen. It's not a function of affixing the tzitzis to the beged, but rather it's a function of fulfilling uri isem oso, that the gardumen need to be visible. Two very different ways of looking at the necessity of gardumen. Now, is it possible that one of these ways would require a slipknot's length more, and the other one would have less of a requirement of a slipknot's length? If you focus on the hecker, on the visibility, so then what would you think? Is a slipknot's length more important or less important? You have a machlokes. Why is it less important?
Because it's not. If it's noticeable, it's not the function to keep it to the beged. It's what you notice. And if it's small, and you don't notice it, then it's no good.
Wait. So that means that you should need it to be longer. You should need that extra stem last length. It's more critical then. So you're saying more.
Yeah.
Did your less mean his more? Or? Okay, so let's work with Mr. Amster's Svara right now, that if you need it to be visible, then presumably there's more of a reason that it needs to be longer. If the main importance is that it should remain affixed to the baguette, so then let it be short as long as the knot is still firm. But why do we need it to be longer? Right? Length is not an inherently important thing. It's just that the knots may fall apart. If it's too short, if the strings on the other side of the knot are too short, the knot might fall apart. But the fact is that there's no inherent reason to require those strings to remain after the knot.
But maybe the minimum amount that is necessary for it to be attached to the baguette is the slip knot. So if you can't make a slip knot, it's not considered that you're attaching it to the baguette. In other words, there's no machlokas, it's just that the slip knot is only to give you the minimum amount that we would say is valid to have it attached to the baguette, but not that it's...
Something needs to be attached to the baguette. You can't just put a knot on the baguette. You need to have something beyond that. Okay, we'll get back to that also, but from Rava, at the very least, what seems to be from Rava is that the importance is that there should be a knot. We don't know from Rava whether there needs to be anything on the other side of the knot, but he says that the critical, the measure of Gardumin is that the knot should remain affixed. So it's two very, very different svaros, two very different reasons for why you need there to be these Gardumin left, why you would have thought it's not kosher, and why, when there is a certain minimum left, that it is kosher. The two svaros, according to the first one, the one that it needs to be visible, so it's much more reasonable to say you need a slip knot's length to remain. According to the second one, you might argue, which is basically where Rashi's position is coming from, if all that's important is that the tzitzis remain affixed to the baguette, so then why do you need a slip knot's length to remain, Rashi says? As long as you have a lower knot that's going to keep the tzitzis affixed to the baguette, just because the upper knot is going to become unraveled because the strings on its opposite side are too short, shouldn't bother us. Because as long as the tzitzis remain affixed to the baguette, you don't need the string to be long at all. The important thing is if the strings can remain affixed to the baguette. According to Rashi, if somehow you could create a knot where there's nothing on the other side of the knot, but it remains a firm knot, so then Rashi might say it's kosher. Because the whole concern is that the tzitzis will unravel and fall out of the baguette. And if you've invented this firm knot, which is not going to fall out of the baguette, so then you're fine, even if there's nothing left, and even if there is no other knot, if you could invent such a knot. So these two rationales, these two concerns, and the way that Gardumin alleviate the concerns, actually results in a nafkamina over how necessary is the kedei aniva, is the slip knot's length, on the other side of the knot. Now there are two other reasons that apply to Gardumin, two other concerns that might disqualify tzitzis that get chopped off, and two other reasons, therefore, that Gardumin are able to alleviate these concerns. One of the concerns we spoke about, although we didn't make the connection, and the other one we never spoke about yet at all. The one that we did speak about was the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Right? Rabbi Yehuda said, again, going back to last week, all the way at the beginning, that the tcheles and the lavan were a single mitzvah, and that without the tcheles, the lavan doesn't work, and without lavan, the tcheles doesn't work. But because they're so closely connected, the tcheles and the lavan, they're all shoulder to shoulder, they're of a kind, therefore the tcheles that remain can fill in for the lavan which is missing. Or the lavan that remains can fill in for the tcheles that's missing. Shofar can't fill in for the missing tcheles, and lulav can't fill in for the missing tcheles, matzah can't fill in for the missing tcheles, but since the lavan, the white strings, are the same mitzvah as the blue strings, therefore the remaining white strings are able to fill in for the tcheles. And we mentioned that Tosfos said, even for the Rabbanon, who say that, yeah, you're, if you have the white without the blue, or the blue without the white, you're still Yotzei, but because the white and the blue share the same theme, Uri'isem Oso, Uzchartem, as called Mitzvos Hashem, the Rambam says they count as a single mitzvah, even though they're both independent, they're not codependent, but they're a single mitzvah, they have a single theme, and therefore Tosfos say, perhaps even for the Rabbanon, one can fill in for the other. So according to that, it would seem that the concern is